Welcome to our next podcast. This time the topic will be off-grid PV system installation. So we are getting on site, we're getting practical. And the expert I invited today is Samson Tsegaye. He's got years of experience in the solar industry, and he's actually country director of the Solar Energy Foundation Ethiopia, and also co-founder of his own solar company, also based in Ethiopia. He is the one who installed the 5 kilowatt off-grid systems at the 4 pilot colleges in Tigray and Oromia. So he's truly an expert in PV installations in Ethiopia. But maybe you can introduce yourself with a few words, Samson.
I am Samson Tsegaye, country director for Stiftung Solar Energy Foundation, a German-based international NGO based in Germany, registered in Ethiopia in 2007 as international NGO again. The foundation since then starts working on only solar technologies, and Stiftung Solar Energy is the only NGO working on only solar technologies in the country. We don't mix other development activities, that means it is challenging work and activities. Since 2007, around 40,000 different size solar lighting systems distributed to a different part of the country. And besides that, we also installed solar water pumping systems for different village for water supply. And for one village, we also installed water disinfection system, street lights, and a school system for the lighting system for schools, and a solar lantern for students, and also for health clinics with a lighting system and plus cooling system for around 105 health centers in different parts of the country.
Oh, that's impressive. Okay. And your company, what are they doing?
Sun Transfer?
Yes.
Sun Transfer is a sister company, mainly working on the importing solar equipment from abroad, and also installation activities, working with the foundation. And mainly we share the staff, the equipment, and whatever we have together. So we're working collaboratively together whenever we have any projects. Besides that, also when we deliver trainings for solar technicians, the staff of Sun Transfer Tech PLC supporting the trainings and participate on the training. They deliver trainings also with us.
Okay, interesting. I'm looking forward to picking your brain now on the topic of installation. We will go along a typical installation. Imagine we have a system already planned. We have all our material lists ready, we ordered the components already, and now the installation is about to begin. On preparation of installation, before we actually go on site, what needs to be done now?
Yeah, as every equipment are ready, imported, and they are in the stock, before we start to going to the village or on the site, we have to check if everything is in order, everything is in stock, is in a safe way, not broken or stolen or whatever. Then we have to check the location, the site, if it is possible to travel at the designed or planned time, if there is nothing happen, I mean, if there is nothing in the area, for example, security, weather, like if it's a rainy season or if it is raining accidentally like that. And if we have to have a kind of agreement or ask permission from the government side or from the village or whatever, should be prepared before we plan the dates of the date of traveling to the site. After then, we plan these things before a month or two. It depends on the timeline we have or agreed with the clients. But as I said, what limits us is, like what I said, the security issue or the climate issue, or even if the time is not possible, for example, on our installation for schools, if everything is busy around there and if we cannot travel there, kind of these things. But this will not take like a month is okay. 1 month up to 2 months can be enough to plan these preparations.
And how long does the installation normally take? How many days for, let's say, a 5 kilowatt peak system?
This can be decided from the first installation according to, because depend on the location, the temperature or the weather. For example, in Tigray, from like a midday, the 3-4 hours, very, very difficult to be on the roof. So this can lead, I mean, take more time. But otherwise, mostly we took around 4 to 5 days for the 5 kilowatt system in the 4 schools. It depends sometimes. It's not the installation time, but if something happened in between, like if one component failed or by mistake, or if something happened, or was a panel broken or something like that, this will add more time to prepare or to rearrange such things.
So do you plan for those cases before?
Yeah. We can say if something happened, it can be delayed. Otherwise, 5 days is okay. If nothing happened with equipment, with even the technicians or whatever, then we can keep these 5 days. And if everything is on site. But before that, one thing what we have to prepare is all checklists should be prepared before in advance, and nothing should be missed that we have to take to site, to the installation site. Otherwise, sometimes if you miss something important in the middle, then you may lose a day or something like that, or two. It depends. If you have to import it from abroad, that might take 2-3 months. You don't know. So this preparation and a checklist, important, very important.
Yeah, I can imagine. When you're in the middle of nowhere and then suddenly you don't have a screwdriver or something, it would take a day to get it, huh?
Yeah. Normally, not with a 5 kilowatt, for example, with a 36 kilowatt system, as it is, the system was new for us to install this size system with new inverter. There was a missed part at the time of importing the equipment. They missed a battery DC breaker in the middle. And they told us, you can use this breaker, but the breaker they send us is different when we check it, when we open the box. So this leads, I mean, took more time to re-import again, and additional cost of the tax and something like that. So at the preparation time, everything should be checked on the sizing, the protection box kind of things should be very clear and very clearly checked.
Yeah, I think especially when the person who designed the system is different from the person who installs it. So the installer should always double check the design, if it all really fits and if everything is there and everything will work for the site.
Yeah, but at this point, I think I have to explain this. The very responsible person will be the design, the designer, because the installer only will check if the battery, the breaker is there, if the inverter is there, according to the design. He will not check the sizing thing. So it's better that the designer who sized the system should be very careful and should be checked before ordering even, and also before the shipment. At the time of shipment also, it's good to check. For example, what happens with us, the one who working on the logistic department didn't consider what should be sent. So he can miss things, he can change the parts and kind of. So it's good to be perfect on that and check everything very well at the time.
Yeah, especially when components are imported, hey? When you don't just buy them locally, but import.
Yes, yeah. Sure.
So is part of the preparation also like reading all the manuals and preparing for the actual theory part of the installation?
Yes, it's very important. It's good to understand. For example, the inverter we had was a new type and no experience with it. So it was very, very important to read very well everything, the procedures. And even, you know, after we read and understand something, when we ask them, they change a lot of things. They change the manuals. But what we find out later also, they change the manual, but they didn't report, inform us. They change some procedures. So this kind of thing should be, needs a follow-up, close follow-up, with accidents or happenings like if something happened after you install the inverter or something like that, if you see any error, and that error should be communicated with the responsible body or responsible person. Maybe to say something here, the manufacturer and the supplier are different group. The suppliers, they said, we are not technical person, and it's difficult to find the manufacturer at the spot or on the time, at the time of installation. So it's good to understand beforehand and the manuals and the procedures, what to do not, and all this, and that helps a lot later at the installation time.
What else should one take on site? Apart from, maybe you have some tips for us, apart from the obvious stuff like the components you want to install and the tools you need, anything else from your experience where you say this you should definitely have?
Yeah, the tools are very important, as we said, and the equipment is obvious we have to take. When we discuss about the tools, I mean, the tools, a ladder is a very important tool, and that ladder should be the right one for this, according to the site, the installation site. Some roofs are very, very high, and you need a longer ladder. Some areas, you don't need that big ladders. It's accessible with a short one, something like that. So you have to check all these things beforehand, so before you transfer or prepare your equipment for the site. And from the designing side, for example, what happens in one of the school and the other school was different, like the screws for profile on the roof. Some are steel truss, some are wooden truss. So if you're taking only a corrugated screw, then you will have a problem. So for such kind of issues, the first site visit is very important. We use J-bolt, for example, we modify that according to the size of the truss and the roof and the like that. Even the profile, we have to modify something like this. So it depends also, for example, the battery size, the battery capacity, weight also one issue. For example, for our new installation, the 36 kilowatt, one battery weigh around 270 kilos. And it's very difficult to handle by hand, even by belt, for two people. 100 something kilos is too heavy for even one person if you share it too. 135 kilos. So we have to buy a special crane for that, to load it and like that. So all such things should be planned before, so we manage without any damage. I can tell once, as you know, the HPK batteries, those very smooth, and you can't hold it easily. It is very slippery. So we lost one when they unload the car from the car, one broken. And we have to import it. We cannot access it locally. And it was a lot of money also like that. So we have to plan all this, how to unload the equipment there. Are they heavy or easy to load it in the car? Kind of things also very important.
On the logistics kind of things, how do you transport the equipment on site? Do you put it in your own car? Or do you have a company driving it down with a truck? Or how do you organize that?
Yeah, this is depend on the size of the equipment or the system. If it is a smaller size, we can upload it in our pickup truck. Otherwise, for example, for the 5 kilowatt, it is in the pallet box. So we had a problem with one of the boxes at the panel damage because of the transportation or unloading issue. So on this one, we hire a truck, the truck with the crane. So easy to load it to the truck and also unload it to the ground and to the store like that. So we were safe with this one, but we rent a truck for the system. And also we buy insurance, which is not a common issue in Ethiopia. No one is buying insurance for transport on the transport. Thank you for your advice at the time to buy an insurance.
Would you get an insurance now for other projects as well?
Yes, after then. Yes, it's very, very serious. Even these days, even because of a security issue, or the trucks are not that new, so damage can happen in different ways. So it is good to be on the safe side. It will take time later to pay you back, but the insurance will take according to the invoice, so you can be on the safe side at least.
Good. Okay. If we now have all the components on site, we get to the actual installation. How do you organize an installation? Maybe you can talk us through how the 5 days at the colleges, how did you organize it? What happened on the different days?
What we did, for example, in our installations that the students are with us, we divided the group to work on different activities. The first one and the time-taking activity was installing the panel on the roof. It takes putting the profile on the roof and putting the screws and putting the panel. That one took a bit long time, longer time than the other activities. So we divide the group. Some group work on the solar mounting, the structure, then the installing the panel, and some working on the battery rack installation, and some working also on the inverter. Inverter and the protection box and the distribution box side. This is how we organized it. Mainly the first activity is starting from the profile module structure on the roof, and then the battery rack. It's not that complicated. Putting the battery in place is a little bit heavy, but it's also, if you have enough labor and enough people around, or the belt to upload or load it to the rack. If you have those equipments, it's easier. And then the inverter location, properly mark the water level meter and the distance on the top, on the sides. We have to keep all that, and it should be straight and like that. We have to prepare that before we fix into to the wall.
So you put all the components in place, like modules on the roof, batteries where they belong to, fix components on the wall, and then you start connecting them.
After we are very clear about, we have to check first the schematic, the diagram about the solar module installation. We have to be careful on that. After they install the structure, we have to measure each module voltage, current, and register all that before we connect them. And before they put the panels on the structure, they have to measure the voltage and the current at the time. And it will be different, but this can help to identify if any failed solar module we have. So we register that for our recording. Then when they put also on the rack, they have to follow the design, the diagram, and also the wiring, the connection diagram also. This is very important to avoid also damage after connecting the wires.
So can you summarize again, what kind of charts or diagrams do you take on site?
The diagram, the module structure, the layout, we can say the layout, from which series connection, which one is in parallel connection, which number to which one. All this should be prepared on the design phase, and we have to follow all that, and we have to register this, and also we have to register a serial number of each module, the voltage, the current measurement at the time of installation. We have to keep these documents with us, and we have to use it properly.
Why do you have to do that? Why can't you just connect it like the plan? Why do you have to write down all those numbers?
Because we install it today, and tomorrow somebody can come for maintenance issues or to know how is the connection of the solar module on the roof, or if something happened, one broken panel or some damaged panel or cable, whatever. It is easy to reconnect or reinstall the system if any future maintenance happens.
What would you say are particularly difficult parts during the installation?
Difficult in a sense depends on the roof type. This is very important part, should be visited and evaluated at the designing phase and site visiting time. The roof type, the roof size, age, and all these things. But sometimes if you don't have any option to put, and if you have to use in a very a bit weak roof, it needs careful activity when you screw it or when you tie it, and when you walk on the roof, all these are very difficult things. This will not be a problem normally if you do the proper site visit before, so you know how to walk or how to do the job on the roof. It's not difficult again, but it needs very careful activity when you're connecting the module cable according to the design. You don't have to miss anything or misconnect to other direction or other sort of module or whatever. And when you tie also, you have to be careful if cable should not be under the screw or something like that, because if it cuts it and will make a problem later. The temperature sometimes an issue while you are on the roof. If the area is a hot area, it's difficult to really walk in good power because you become exhausted with high temperature and like that. And mainly the roof installation or ground installation sometimes are a bit difficult, but other activities are only needs care.
So would you say the better the preparation, the easier the installation later?
Sure. If you install prepare everything in advance, and if you know everything and if you know what to do, then easy to place them on the space, on the place.
So installation is done, all the components are where they're supposed to be, everything is already kind of connected. Now comes the commissioning. For the commissioning, there's those two parts, right? We have the kind of technical commissioning where you finally connect everything, test everything, see if it works, prepare everything to be ready to be switched on. And then you have the, let's call it administrative commissioning, where the client is with you and together you switch on the system, you show the client that it works, and then you do the proper handover. What would you say, or what needs to be done during the technical commissioning?
Before we hand over the equipment, after we are testing everything, if the panel output is according to the design, if the battery is connected properly according to the design or the size, if the inverter, protection box, grounding equipment, the DC breaker, and also the distribution box, all should be tested before handovering or before commissioning the equipment providing the training to the end user. So if you are perfect on this, connecting the panel to the inverter to the battery, and also the output, the distribution box, if all this works perfectly, what I suggest now from our experiences, it should not be immediately that day. It is better to see at least one more day to see some effects on the connections, loose connection, whatever. If something happened like this, you can see it. Then you mentioned before, when we put a panel on the roof, we measure everything that the panels are perfect. We prepare a document on that. Then we measure also the battery at the time of connecting them, and each battery cells should be measured. The electrolyte, if they are flooded one, and if it's a sealed one, they just measure the voltage, and the temperature inside the room. All this should be registered, and all documents regarding the different equipment, like for the battery, for the inverter, for the protection box, for the panels, all this manual should be prepared and ready. And then ask the customer to give a responsible person in the future who will take over or take care of the equipment or additional people. Then we start training how the system works, what should we do after installation? What is the needed activities? Like for the solar module, we have to always watch out if there is a shadow around, I mean, trees grown up, or the chimneys or whatever, additional building, satellite dishes installing after the installation should not cover the panel. And if the bird or whatever dust all these things, they have to check this and clean it. They have to do, they don't have to do other things on this one. If they clean, they can have a better performance on the system. The second thing is at the battery, if it is flooded, they have to check the minimum and the maximum level always, should not go down up to the minimum. And they have to be careful when they select the battery distilled water, if they have to fill out. Something happened on our system, for example, on this one. In Ethiopia now it's difficult to find this clean distilled water. So we just only buy before and fill out our batteries, and our batteries are damaged at the moment. But we have found out later that is additional to the age of the battery, the battery failed because of the distilled water. And then inverter, what they have to do, what they have to check, if any technician asking them what they have to look on, which buttons should be operated or touched by them. If any accident happen, which breaker they have to switch off immediately. On the battery side also, what they have to do, which is the breaker, which one is on off, which is offside, which is on side, and like this, all these procedures should be explained to the user, and also put the contact number, where, whom they have to contact if they have any problem. Additionally, we have to collect all the manuals, user manuals and equipment manuals, all these instructions in a box file with a handovering, like the PV acceptance, the battery acceptance, a system acceptance form, which is prepared by DGS. And that's very, very helpful, what I learned now. And we're using them for our any activities also to hand over the system for the user.
So you don't have to remember all the steps that need to be done, all the measurings, everything you need to tell the clients. So you are using a checklist in order not to forget anything.
Yes, when we measured module, we have to show them this what we measured. Sometimes it depends, they are together with you so they can see everything. When we measure the battery, they can see all everything. This is not their job in the future, but they have to see if the equipments we delivered are proper equipment for the system. We explain it, and we also put it on the user manual, so they have to follow all those procedures later if they have to report to us.
So just to summarize, for the official handover, so the client comes and you take him on site, and you do, like, you show all the measuring, you show all the results of the measuring so that the client can be sure that the system works. And then you give all the instructions how to treat the system, what to do in case of emergency, who to call, anything important they need to know.
Yes, it depends on the situations also here. Some people, they are not technical people. Like when you hand over, they don't have any technical person. They just only say, accept what you all say. This is that. And they all accept, and they may give you the responsibility to do the maintenance activity. This will sustain the sustainability of the system. It will confirm the sustainability of the system for future issues.
And it's additional business for you as an installer, right? When you educate the client and then they hire you again for the next job.
Yeah, you have to give them good service, then they have to trust you, and they have to trust what you said, and they have to see the lights on, and then they confident on your work, so they can give you the job with confidence for the future too.
I have one more question on the technical side, on the topic of inverters. I think that is one of the most complicated things. The other parts are just like connecting the modules, connecting the battery, and if that's all connected tightly, then it works. But the inverter, you need to program and you need to choose the settings for it, or sometimes even for the charge controller. So how do you go about that?
Yeah, this is for me what we have to do it before on the preparation time when we read the manuals. Now when we come to the inverter, it is practical then, and we have to follow what the manufacturer guides. Mostly they are good, they put all the procedures on their manual, the installation manual, so we follow that. Only what we have to change is what is what we need. For example, if we are taking the power from the grid, or if we are taking the power from the PV only or from the generator, we only can change this part on the inverter setup. But otherwise, mostly the procedures are there. But what we find out is sometimes that when you install a new inverter, sometimes you can find some errors, and that leads you to also the system error later. So you have to communicate your manufacturer, technical department like this, and they advise you, okay, to correct this, to do that, and like this, we set up the system properly after then. At some inverter types, you need also a permission that is sometimes complicated. For example, if you, when you install SMA, you have to get grid card code kind of thing, and this grid card code, you only see or know that it's important after you are in the middle. It didn't say anywhere, but later when you check out or Google or something, sometimes this kind of problems can happen. But if you follow the installation manual, mostly it's not that complicated. You will not be that fast at the first installations, but when you install two or three, four like this, then you can be experienced it and do it easily, install it or setting up easily.
So would you recommend to stick to one type of inverter once you figured out how it works, so that you get faster with every installation?
It depends. Sometimes you need different type of inverters with their a different operation or service what they provide you, deliver to you. For example, previously SMA, a good inverter, they are good, very good, just need some kind of these procedures. But when you come to Focus, Anygrid, it's a new one, simple, but it can do a lot, I mean, many activities, and simple, not heavy, easy for installers, like that. So it depends on the installation type. We can choose or select a different type of inverter models, like we can say, brands also. We can't stick to one. Yeah, I can advise what the experience I have with the simplest one. I install SMA, I install Focus, Anygrid. I prefer to install Anygrid, for example. It's not heavy, you don't need any permission kind of things. Easy to connected, even the installation, the wiring issues are also easier than the SMA. So I can advise, but depends.
Depends on the project, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, when you tell all these stories, it sounds easy actually. Just prepare and then everything will go smoothly. But I think for a beginner, when you just start your solar career, it's all a bit overwhelming and it's all a bit more difficult. Maybe can you share a few mistakes that you made at the beginning, or a few things where you that you would have liked to know before making the mistake? Anything that can help beginners to have an easier start?
Yeah, nowadays, you know, information are everywhere. It's good to really read more, understand more about the equipment or the system you are working on. And Google, or you can ask people if they have experience with kind of equipment and like that. That can help a lot. One of my teacher always tell us when I was in the school, where is your ear? I take my hand behind my and showing my left ear with my right hand. There are ways always for doing things, so I can show it with my right hand, the right ear easily. This is what I learned from him, and I can try to read even manuals and something like this. This will take a lot, And I may not understand it also from the first reading. So it's good to ask people who have experience with such equipment, what are the procedures, what are special things we need, like, for example, for grid guard code, what do I need? If I know this and if I ask this from my friends before, so I can prepare myself for that, make ready the code with me and easy to insert it and then make it working. Maybe the problem could be like, for example, any grid is a new inverter and we are, I think I can say, the first buyers of this inverter and no much experience with this kind of inverter. So maybe for us also some procedures can be try and error, but it's good also again to discuss, not only yourself, ask friends who have good technical experience with other things also, no problem, but they can see it in different way what others than you see it. And so that makes it easier for the beginners. What I makes it easy now is because I am involved in this sector for more than 20 years. So day-to-day exercise teaches me and people tells me, all this helps me now to involve in these activities. But for the new or the comers or the beginners who want to install this kind of bigger systems, they have to read, ask and try to work with the equipment beforehand, before they install it in the field. I can say one thing here, when you are new and if you're trying something in front of your customer, that will decrease your trust. So it's better if you check all these things beforehand and doing it in front of your customer.
Any other thing where you say this absolutely leads to problems, this should be avoided in any case?
Yeah, from our discussion from the beginning, the first preparation phase is the most important part, to not lose or miss anything you need in the field. Even besides that, just in case you might need some additional accessories, additional things, and sometimes also it's good to take additional components. When we order, maybe I will discuss this with our suppliers in the future. When you say 20, they send you only 20. So you have to be careful. If the one is losing, one is broken or something like that, even the screw, only the screws are four. If you miss one, then you are in trouble. It should be like two piece, one piece or more additional sometimes. And if you can find from your supplier, but you have to be ready and have some components like screws or bolt and nuts or wiring things and like that with you, that helps a lot. This is what I can advise, not to forget beforehand before you travel to the field. The rest, in the field, you have to know exactly where your components or equipment are stored, if that is a proper place or not. Sometimes there can be theft issue or security issue or whatever. Or when they store it with a lot of things and your solar panel are very serious equipment, very sensitive equipment. The battery by itself, if you hit it with something, you can damage all these things and you have to check all these things outside. Otherwise, the first preparation can make your activity easy and be prepared and make yourself ready for the activity.
What would you say? I mean, even if you're well prepared, something can always go wrong. So what would you say, how should one deal with problems when something really goes wrong on site?
Yeah, sometimes I can say things can happen only for a reason. Sometimes I was very, very disappointed when I saw our solar module for our Adama site, for example, all damaged. And I was really nervous but later I that was not a solution. That cannot be a solution. Yes, I can be angry or sad for that, but that cannot be a solution. So after then, we discuss a lot with you and with other partners all and how we can manage it, and we solve it in a better way and successful way. So it's good to be prepared and bring your things properly, but something can happen accidentally. We cannot stop these things. I mean, this accidents which can happen because of, not because of your mistakes, but something can happen this way. So then better to think how we can solve that. First, if we can find locally or easy locally to source the equipment, the damaged part, and replace that and make it active. Or otherwise, if you have to import it, you have to discuss with your customer and make him cool down and port or like that. So that can happen. But be careful when you do your job. Follow the procedures, like when you connect the wires, if there is a short, and if you make fire, there should be fire extinguisher around to you. All kind of this you have to plan. I'm a planet, or prepare these things. But when your technician are doing their job, they have to be careful not to create such kind of mistakes. Look simple, but can create big problem, not only on the equipment, also on themselves, like a huge, very big voltage is coming from the panel, for example, and they cannot play in this, like 400, 600 volts, they can kill. So they have to be careful on that. Otherwise, for accidental happenings, we just have to be cool down and try to find a solution for that.
That sounds quite encouraging. Yeah, thank you. I think since you are based in Ethiopia, all the learners of this online course can definitely also approach you if they need support or if they need to discuss any questions with you. But I think, yeah, it was very helpful that you shared your experiences with us.
Yeah, thank you so much. And I'm happy anybody share my experience. I know that can helpful for people. This is what I said also for the newcomers, the beginners. If they learn from us, they don't have to reinvent the wheel. So easily they can do their project, or they can do it in better way. So anytime we are available, I'm available for anyone who want to learn from our experience.
That's definitely how I also experienced the whole solar industry. So everyone is ready to help. It's a great network. You can approach wholesalers, you can approach the manufacturers, other installers in the country. So everyone is usually quite helpful and quite friendly.
Yeah. I mean, from my experiences, maybe I said it before, I don't know. I did different jobs, different activities, but working with solar is very, very special for me. Whenever you switch on and see the lights and the happiness from both sides, from the customer side, from my side, or from the installer side, is really, really different. And this keeps me still, I get my gray hair.
Nice, yeah. You're already the second person in the podcast to say this, that it's so rewarding to switch on the light on your side. So it must be true.
Yeah, not only the bigger systems like this, the small one, the small home systems, for those who never saw light, always my eyes full of tears when I see them, and their happiness is unexplained.
Yeah, it's a really important job. Yeah, I think this is actually what builds up the country. Good. Yeah, so thank you, Samson, for joining me, and thanks for sharing your information, and it was great having you.
Thank you so much. Happy for having this kind of conversation and sharing our experience. I hope it can be helpful for others or newcomers, learners and beginners.
Definitely.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.